chaka, hookah, 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 chaka, hookah, 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 chaka, hookah, 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 chaka, hookah, hookah,
hookah. I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me.
So good. 6:37 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Come on, pull it back up. Pull it back up. I mean, you have to play this part. You have to play that part. Janice Gilley, she is the Escambia County Administrator, and she joins us every Thursday at about this time. Janice, great to have you back on the show. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it. I hope that music gets everybody going.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, it does. Definitely it does. Hey, before we get into some of the other things that are going on, let's just make sure that people are aware. There is a meeting tonight for the Perdido Key Drive. There's a workshop on the design development kind of stuff going on there, right?
Yes. I know that we've tried hard to make sure that the community out there has been very engaged in, number one, trying to determine what type of intersection we have out there, and then also now on the design. So tonight's an opportunity for them to either come open house style and provide comments in person. They can use comment cards, or they can also go online and also provide comments. So I would encourage folks to participate that live out there, that travel that area frequently, and that's the Perdido Key Drive around Johnson Beach.
You know, it's just kind of this is a total aside from anything else, but it's funny when you're a kid, and even when you're first driving, and even when you're a young adult, let's say up into your 30s, you're so focused on your job, your career, your dating, your fun, all that stuff. It never crosses your mind to think about, like, stormwater mitigation or road design and development. You know, you just take that stuff for granted. You operate within the environment that you have and whatever. And then, you know, you get to a point where you're like, oh, my God, the whole world depends on these decisions. Right. It's just interesting.
Well, and it's also, I think it's great for citizens to participate, you know, in this, because what is it? If you don't participate, it's kind of hard to complain.
Right.
And so I think, you know, participating and being part of this is important.
Absolutely. Where are we at on the fire chief search? Last I heard, we were down to just a couple of candidates. Interim director, Eric Gilmore, had done interviews, and he seemed to be pretty happy about the prospects. Where are we at?
Yeah, so we had four great prospects that came in last week. And as with any job, you know, you start looking at the four, and then you start having conversations about which one might be the best fit. And then you start, you know, doing your best to court that candidate to come to our community. And what we're learning is that communities across the country pay a whole lot more than we pay.
Oh, no.
So that's been an interesting lesson that we've learned. And I mean to the tune of 20,000-30,000 more, you know, for these positions. So you know, that's part of it, is making ourselves attractive in many ways to recruit the right candidate. So anyway, we had four great candidates, and we're myself and our leadership team here is working really hard to recruit the right candidate to our community.
Do we still have, I mean, are there still four we're trying to hook, or, I mean, where are we at?
What I would say is we are still working really hard to attract the right candidate to our community.
Oh, well, that sounds like terrible news. That sounds like we got nobody. I mean, tell me that we're not
over. No, sir. I'm saying one of the four. Yes, we are working on one of the four. I wasn't going to tell you how many of the four were left.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm a little – that scares me because, you know
– No, don't be scared. I mean, it's – you know, it is very eye-opening. You know, as I've done, you know, as we've mentioned many times, I mean, I've recruited, I think, 19 senior leaders here to the county, and every time it's a conversation and a negotiation. And, you know, people, there are other places that around the country that do pay considerably more, not just in the South, but, you know, than our own community. So, and all four of these candidates were outside of the South.
Okay. All right. Well, I know you're kind of reluctant to say. I'm dying to know if we're down to just one person left. I hope not. Anyway.
No.
Okay. You guys also been doing EMS interviews.
We did hire. Correct. We did hire an EMS chief, and we'll be sending that notice out today. His name is David Torsell, and he's coming from Alachua County, and his credentials are absolutely amazing. He's very, very engaged in paramedic and EMS work. He's been very involved in getting the paramedic unit, the EMS unit down there certified. He's also available, he's also worked with the SWAT team as a paramedic operator. It's just been amazing to look at his resume, his qualifications, and the expertise and excellence that he'll be bringing to us, and the expectations that he has of developing the department and working with the folks that we have currently. So I'm looking forward to them getting that leadership. We've got great people that work at EMS, and I know they work hard every single day. And so I'm looking forward to him trying to find ways to just, help them just continue to provide those services to us. And we do need more men and women to serve in those roles at EMS as either an EMT or a paramedic. And so as we're looking toward, I believe the week of May 11th is EMS Appreciation Week. We're just looking forward to continuing to support them and provide more opportunities for them.
All right.
He'll start on June 1st.
June 1st. And what was his name again?
David Torsell.
Torsell from Alachua County. Okay. Very good. Well, that's exciting.
Uh-huh.
So that's a done deal. I will take it. That's definitely good to have senior leadership, senior staff being hired back in. The other thing that I was going to ask you about, and this might be one like I have to wait till after the traffic report, but I will be honest, when it comes to Medicaid stuff, I just have blinders on. Like, I know it's a massively important thing, but every time I try to really understand the implications of various policies surrounding it, I just find it hard to penetrate. Can you help me understand the recent things that have been done in the county with regard to Medicaid and healthcare?
Yeah, so we recently passed an ordinance with the hospital's support that provides an assessment to the hospitals, which they can then use to match funding to draw down from the federal government. And this is a new opportunity for our community. And what it does, though, it will help us offset the uncompensated health care costs that we have. One of the things that we don't do well in the state of Florida is we don't always draw down the federal match opportunities that are available. So they go to New Jersey, or they go to, places like Connecticut. They don't come to Florida. We tend to be a donor state when it comes to the federal government. And, I understand that it sometimes is offensive to rely on tax dollars to some folks. On the other hand, when you have as much uncompensated care as we have in our community, it's important for us to draw down as much money as we can to help with those costs. And so the hospitals are going to willingly take this assessment, and then fortunately they'll use it to the benefit of our community.
Okay, so I remember this coming up a year maybe or 2 years ago. It was before COVID, or maybe it was post-COVID, but this was where they basically came in and said, we're going to bring to you the opportunity to help us figure out a way to get these match funds. And I thought it involved actually making some sacrifices on the front end by the hospitals that would come back later. Am I remembering this right, or is that kind of related to this?
I don't know if that's the same issue, but
okay.
In this particular instance, they actually are, for lack of a better term, taxing themselves.
Yeah, that's it.
And
yeah,
when
that's,
they tax
that was it.
Themselves, yeah. Yeah.
Because in allowing themselves to be taxed, that allows them to be eligible and the county to be eligible to draw in these federal matching funds so that they would actually wind up getting more to take care of the uncompensated care than they are currently getting and kind of help defray the cost of that. That's the idea?
Yes. And I would even say that I believe that our governor and our Agency for Healthcare Administration and others are actually encouraging the communities to do this. To try and draw those funds down.
Very good. Well, hey, if it's going to help the hospitals take care of people, and especially the cost that they're incurring taking care of uninsured people or underinsured people, great. I mean, that sounds, especially, as you say, if it's drawing down federal funds that are there that other people are taking advantage of and we aren't doing a good enough job of taking advantage of, then that's good as well. Janice Gillis, she is the Escambia County Administrator. Janice, always a pleasure. Thanks for the time. Thanks for the work you do. We certainly appreciate it.
Well, thank you. You have a great day.